Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm going to pray for me and then we'll get started. And it's a real honor and privilege to have met Apostle Wes and Prophetess Janet. We got together one time and that was a big moment for me. There was healing that came out of that and help that came out. You remember when? And so I want to thank you, because how do you meet somebody once and then they're your answer immediately? Sometimes we search for answers. I didn't search for you, but God brought you to me as an answer. And I want to thank you for that moment that we had that we will remember always. I know I will. Praise God. Well, good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm going to pray for me, because you really, you know, I'm a really nice person, but I don't have a lot to offer you, but God's word inside of me can change your life. I pray that everybody that has an ear today, that you would lean your spiritual ears and hear what God says, because God did not send me anywhere. He never does, not even to our own pulpit. He doesn't send us to where we get to speak for him, that his words are not valuable, they're not needed, they're not answers, they're not help, they're not exactly what you need, even before you need it, for he's not God who gives you the need on time. I know people think that, but the Bible says he's Jehovah Jireh. That means he's giving you your need before you need it. Sometimes you don't recognize it because the need hasn't shown up, but he provides for you even before. So some of you may hear the word of God today and you might say, oh, that's good, I really didn't need that. Don't be in that mindset. Be of a spiritual mindset that Jehovah's given me what I need. Praise God. He gives ahead of time. That means that the word of God, I'm not preaching. I don't know why, I just want to talk for a minute. The word of God is a seed, Mark 4. And God has to plant a seed. And I don't know if you have different seed than we have in America, but if you plant a seed, you don't get to eat the fruit tomorrow. So you have to plant it today, and then you have to water it over time. And even when you begin to see the things come up, there's not a time to eat it until it's called harvest. So God will give you his word according to his word. He will give you the word that you need for your end of season. And so you will harvest that word when it's needed. Sometimes we don't recognize that God is already doing it because you cannot see something under the ground. But God is going to give you seed that you need today. And it may not be visibly seen why or naturally known why in your mind, but it will answer when that need comes. You don't have to go crying to God, begging God, looking for God. You just have to pick the fruit that he's already brought on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And so let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word of God today. I thank you, Lord, that the word will have free course. Holy Ghost, you will allow that the word to do what it needs to do, because it's your power. It's your word, Father God. Well, I'm not going to stand here with my opinions, and my opinions are powerless, empty, vain. But Father, your word is full of power, and it will do what it is sent to do, Father. And so we give you praise and thanks. Holy Ghost, the word says, if we open our mouth, you will feel it. So I praise you, God, that even though I have written what you have given me, you are feeling my mouth as I step out in faith, Father. And so I praise you and I thank you and I call forth fruit out of this service, that it will remain for the glory of God, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I get nervous every time. My confidence is not in how long I've been preaching. I get nervous every time. And I want you to know that leaves in about 30 seconds. So yeah, we're thankful for that. I'm going to teach a word that I've only taught one time because I prepared it for you. Every service I go to, I have prepared a separate word because I believe it's a different people. And so this word, although I preached it right before, I said, husband, if you don't mind, I just want to release this word. You know, the Bible talks about practicing things, and sometimes I just need to let something out, and I do it, and then when I get to go to that place where it belongs, it pours out, and I want a pouring. I want an outpouring of God's word, his revelation, his understanding, his impartations of the word of God to arrive right where it needs to. It's called in your ears, because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and not hearing from words that I have or anything that could impress you. Word comes from God. God is word. And so the word of God is going to come to your ears. You're going to hear what he has to say. And by faith, I declare that you are going to change by the word of God, because the word of God is a life-changing word. Hallelujah. It's not a word where we can go home and say, that was good. No, that's the word you eat. That's the word that changes you. That's the word that nourishes you. That's the word that brings you all the nourishment and supply of the spirit that you need. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about words. And if you know me, I love words. When I grew up, I learned how to say a lot of words you're not supposed to say. So I learned right away that when I came to Jesus, he didn't want to hear those words, so I learned how to talk his. And that's why words are so important, because the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. When God wrote this in Deuteronomy, I want you to know there was no born-again believer. He wasn't saying, when you're born again, you got life and death. No, man has life words and death words. I know there's a lot of languages on the earth today, but in the kingdom of God, God only recognizes two. He recognizes life language and death language. And you need to be careful which one you talk from, because it's so important that God tells us he's not putting the word for you to say. He's giving you the word for you to believe. And if you believe it, you'll speak it. Hallelujah. And so words are so important, and I touched on some of this yesterday. I think I touched on it or the other day ago, and I think I do it all the time, because this is, Pastor Wes, you really blessed me. You said we all have a lane or something that we all are familiar with. Yeah, and I just was so thankful for that, because Paul the Apostle said, it's not irksome for me to say the same thing to you over and over, and sometimes I bring up the same things. He said, this is why. It's not irksome because it's for your safety. How many know there's reasons for safety? You can go outside on the balcony of a hotel, and it will have a guard rail. That guard rail is there not to tell you can't go somewhere. It's there to protect you where you're at. So I want you to know the word of God, don't ever get tired of it, because Paul said it's spoken again and again. It's for your spiritual safety. Hallelujah. And so words are quite amazing, and I think that sometimes we may not understand the power of words, the choice of words, and how God made words. And I touched on it, but I didn't finish. So if you were here the other day, you get to hear it finished, but I teach enough that if you weren't, you'll grab it anyway. So the words come in three forms, and these three forms are all words. You know, I was once a baby, but I'm still human. And then I was a teenager, but I'm still human. And now I'm an adult, but I'm still human. But I've had three different phases of my life. And words have forms, like ice and water and steam has three different forms. I want you to know we need to recognize, because it's not taught enough, the power of your words. Your words can destroy you, or your words can bless you. In fact, the word of God says in Psalms 107:20 that God sent word. He didn't send the Holy Ghost first. He's your helper. He sent word for you. So word can speak word and give you words, so he can help you with your words. And then the Bible says that after he saved you, that God didn't just save you so you can go to heaven. No, you're still remaining here. You're existing here for a cause, but you have to renew or repent. Repent is two words in the Greek. It means to come up and be higher. In other words, stop living this low life of what you see and what you feel. God calls that sight. Stop living this light of every feeling and this life of every emotion. And when God says you're healed and you check your body, we don't check the body, we check the word. If the word says we're healed, we're healed. Yeah, the natural man checks the body, but the spirit man checks the word. And so words are very valuable and very important. When God speaks, he's not wasting our time. And so there are words that are spoken in the spirit, the realm of the spirit, and those are unaudible words. Those are words you don't hear, and God calls these words thought. And everything, if you notice, when God speaks of what he has in his mind, he doesn't call it audible words. He says, I have plans for your life, right? I have thoughts for you. Notice God didn't say, here's my mind. He said, I have thoughts for you. And then scripture tells us, Isaiah 55, which will be our main text, but not yet. He'll say that my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts. Why didn't God say my mind? Because God's mind is spoken in a realm that you cannot hear, and it's released by thought. So you are a spirit being, and you're able to hear from that realm, and you hear that in thought. And I'll give you scripture for it, because you know you can't take everybody's word for what they say. Demand and ask God, and if it's not given to you, search the word and seek the truth, for the truth is in God's word. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He said, take no thought, saying. So we know then thought must be first. And he said this because he said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? What is God saying? Well, he told us right before these verses. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Your heavenly Father will take care of you. If you ask him for a fish, he will not give you a stone. So how many know if your needs are not met, you got to get talking. You got to get asking, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. When you ask, I want you to know, if somebody tells you you don't have faith, tell them liar, liar, pants on fire. The fact that you are talking to a God you cannot see means you have faith. And so you've got to understand when God is telling us to ask him it so we can display, I have faith. I have faith, God, that even though I cannot see you, I believe you are. I have faith, God, that even though I know you sit in the heaven, you hear me on the earth. I have faith, God, that when I ask you anything in the name of Jesus, you will give it to me. And so how do we ask? According to the word. And so when God speaks to me and when he speaks to you, and too many people don't know how much they hear God. Because you won't know how much you hear God if you don't know his word. You've got to recognize him. And so we hear from a lot of things. You might hear a spirit tell you something. You might hear your flesh tell you something. You might hear yourself in an unrenewed place tell you something. But whatever you're hearing, you got to check your hearing. My husband brought it up for a half second. He said, scripture says, be careful what you hear. And the scripture tells us, be careful how you hear. When you're hearing God, make sure you're hearing him through the word. Because if you don't hear him through the word, then the devil can come in and say, did God really say? Did God really say? And you've got to know, hey, yes, he did. Yes, he did say, according to the word of God in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God made me like him. Are you really like God? You've got to have an answer for that. What did he say to Jesus? If you are the Son of Man. He wanted to know, do you believe those words? Even when you can't feel it, do you believe those words? Are you really healed by the stripes of Jesus? Do you believe those words? And you're going to have to say, yes, I am healed. No, I don't have to feel healed. The Bible doesn't tell me that we believe by feeling. The Bible tells me we believe by hearing. And God has said, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Praise the Lord. And so when God speaks to you, for the most part, he's going to speak to you on the inside. Did you know the kingdom is not, Jesus said, over there? And it's not over there. The kingdom is right on the inside of you. And so you're going to hear God where the kingdom is, from within. But God does speak from without right now, because God is using me to speak to you, and they're his words. It is God speaking to you, so you can hear him inwardly, or through a man, a woman of God, a child of God, a son, a daughter of God, you can hear him outwardly. And so when we hear inwardly, these words are called thoughts. And Jesus is telling us, hey, there are thoughts that God don't speak. How do we know that? He said, don't take them. Don't take these thoughts that go against God. It must be important that he tells us this. How many know God doesn't tell us everything? But what he is telling us is for a cause, is for a reason, and it is for our help, and it is what we need. So when Jesus says, take no thought saying, so we know then thoughts have to come first, because saying is after. But there's something in the middle, and if you don't know the process of what words are, you got saved because the Bible said you heard the gospel preached. You believe that Jesus died, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. You believe that Jesus died and that he rose again on the third day. You believed it, I know you did, because that's how you got saved. You heard that word. You believed that word, and what did you do? You got that word in your heart. So, well, how did the heart get it? Your mind, your soul is your will. You have to will agree with God. Job 22 says this, acquaint thyself now with God. What is he saying? Get to know his word. Acquaint thyself now with God. Get to know him and agree with him. Do you know faith is just I agree with God's word? Faith just means that I know that I can see this, but God says this, and I'm just going to agree with his word. So you, in order to agree with his word, you have to hear his word. And you only get to come to church once or twice a week. And the pastor is equipping you so when you go home and he's not there and she's not there, so that you can go home and say, that's God speaking to me, and that's not God speaking to me. And I'll take that thought that you're saying, God, it lines up to your word, but I'm not going to take this thought. Why? Because all the thoughts you take end up in your mouth. But how'd they get there? Because when you will, you know your mind in the scripture, when David talked about his reins, have you ever heard where he talked about, try my reins, oh God? That word reins, there's about 10 different Hebrew words in the Old Testament for mind. And some of them interact between mind and heart. But there are about 5 scriptures where David talks about the mind, and he uses the word reins, or he uses the word innermost part in scripture. And when he's saying these words, it's not the leb or the leba. It's not that mind. It's not the heart. It's not the soul in that definition. It is the word kela in the Hebrew. This word in the Hebrew is a wonderful word, and if it's not taught by the Holy Ghost, you may not understand it and pass it by, not realizing what God is teaching us. This word means kidney. Isn't that something? It means kidney. And I remember asking the Holy Ghost, who I rely on every day, I want to know what you say that means. Because I understand that David wrote this psalm, but it's your word. And you gave it to him. And it's inspired by you. So I'm asking you, why kidney? And the Holy Spirit told me, well, what does your kidney do? And I'm not that smart, so you know, I Googled it. And I found out that my kidney, it takes in all the fluids, the blood and the toxic fluids in our body. And it is a filter, and it filters out, cleans your blood, sends it back through your body, and your waste comes out. What a wonderful kidney. Well, your mind is a kidney. You're going to hear a lot of thoughts that you're going to have to come and remove them out. I rebuke that thought. I refuse that thought and not allow that thought to go where the mind, like the kidney, will send it. It sends it to the heart. Because you see, your mind is your will. You will will what you will hear to agree with. But your heart is your believer. With the heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So a lot of people think, I'm just speaking my mind. No, you're not. You're speaking your heart. And so what you're allowing is, you're allowing that when you refuse thoughts that don't come from God that are trying to get to your heart. You've got to have those exit out. How do you do that? You rebuke them. You refuse them. You answer them. Remember, Jesus answered thoughts. You know, he didn't just answer words. And the religious people said he was blaspheming against God. And he said, he didn't hear this audibly. He heard this in the realm of the spirit. He said, why do you think evil in your heart? So, you know, your heart is your thinker. Your brain's not your thinker. Your soul is your chooser. I don't will with my heart. I will with my choice. That's why when you get born again, it's not enough to just go to church and add God. When you add God, you become what James calls a double-minded man. You're unstable. You don't mean to be, and you're not evil, and you're still saved, and you love God, but you're unstable because you're bringing in God's word with your old mindset. This is called a double mind, a death-minded person, Romans 8, or a life spiritual-minded person. You don't want to be both. You got to refuse one. Because the Bible says in James that a double-minded man doesn't receive from God. But notice he didn't say he never receives. Because you won't get what God has, but you'll definitely get the wrong thought. Because you know weeds, you don't even have to water them. And in Mark chapter 4, we're told that the thorns came in this double-minded person, that the word of God was planted in their heart. Notice it goes to the heart, not the head. The head says, yes, I agree. Got in the heart. When it got in the heart, another word, another thought got inside. And that thought that got inside the heart was called weeds and thorns. You know, the curse is called a thorn. It's wrong thoughts. It's wrong believing and speaking, the things you let in there that don't belong. And so we see that that the Bible says, and these thorns came and choked out. And it's amazing because people that do their lawns and do their front yard, they work hard, don't they? And when you see a yard that has weeds and thorns, you know they didn't do no work. Well, there is a work for you to do after you're saved, and you've got to do the working of the renewing of your mind. God did not say you got saved, you've got a new mind. No, you got a new spirit. You got a spirit of faith, but you didn't get a new mind. If you want to be transformed, if you want to be changed into the image of Christ, which is the will of God for your life, you're going to have to tear out that old stuff. They talked about tearing up boards the other day. And looking what's underneath. But you know, to renew just means this. It means that renovation. You got to pull out that old wiring. You've got to pull out that old stuff. You got to get rid of all of it and start over and start putting in God's word. Start putting in God's word. And you'll have no struggle if you take out the old stuff. It'll just be new. But that's not God's job. He said in Romans 12:2, you renew your mind. He saved you. He did the hard stuff, but you still have a work. You have to renew your mind. And so words are from your thought life. Even those of you hearing me right now, your kidney, your brain, your mind, your will, your choice is hearing me through what your mindset is. We're not all hearing the same thing. You're hearing according to your mindset. Somebody might say, I don't know about that. That just doesn't make sense. Well, of course it wouldn't if your mindset was fleshly or carnal. Because the Bible says the carnal man cannot understand God. And I'm not saying you're evil, but listen, I have some carnality I'm still working on. And it's the truth that sets us free. What does it set us free from? God's word set you free from the lie. The lie that you are what you feel, what you see, and what you believe. That tree, that fruit is from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That fruit, that knowledge of good and evil, God did not make Adam with that knowledge. That was the seed that when he ate got in his mind. You know, Adam didn't change everywhere, but according to Paul, he tells us where he changed. Romans 8, 6. To be carnally minded is death. That's the death he experienced immediately. And his words changed because as a man thinketh in his heart. See, that's where you think. Yeah, wheel the thoughts from what you hear. What you accept, you put on the inside. Which one am I teaching, Lord? Glory to God. Praise God. It's okay if I teach mind change. I'm already halfway there. Apologize for the word I wanted to bring you, but I'm going to give you the one that's coming out. Is that all right? So we see that words come in different forms. And so your first words are the inaudible words. You know you are a spirit being. Don't be fooled by the body. The world wants you to see your body and believe your body and that you are what your body is. But your body is just the turtle shell that keeps you here. The astronaut suit that allows you to walk on the moon. This is just allowing us to be here on earth. I am a spirit and you are a spirit. You have a choice. You have a will. You have a mind. You have emotions. But you are only in this body so that you can live a spiritual life when you're saved, not a natural life. And so you're going to have to take out all that stuff that is not of God. And the Bible says when you allow God's word in you, guess what you've allowed? Life in you. God never meant for man to have what man had. The first thing Adam did is he talked different. He said things that disagreed with what he said before. That's what we're born unto. We're born into what God calls a sight life. The Bible says their eyes were open. They weren't physically blind. They became spiritually blind to the knowledge of God, to the truth of God's word, to the light of God's word. Light is truth, and darkness refers to ignorance. And when God says we were translated, what were we translated out of through salvation? Darkness, the kingdom of darkness. The God of this world blinded us. So what happened? They were spiritually aware, and then the natural eye led, and the sense led, and the body senses were open. The aeon, the body senses were open, and man would take a new knowledge, not truth knowledge, but knowledge by feeling, knowledge by senses. Man would be body, mind. That's when why God says when you walk by the flesh, you walk against God. You're enmity with God. You can't agree with God. What is the flesh? Well, the only part of you that's flesh is the body. When you die, the only flesh part of you that stays here is the body. Your soul is eternal. Remember the rich man? Yep. He said, go back and send him to my brothers. He knew. What you have in your soul is eternal. But your spirit is eternal. So these are not what God is calling flesh. The only flesh is the part made of the earth, the physical part. And so when God tells us to not walk in the flesh, he's telling you, don't walk in your senses. Don't believe everything that you sense. Don't believe everything. Well, God, we have no money. I mean, the bills are piling up. Look what we owe. God is saying, I supply all your needs. I will take care of you. I am your father. Ask me. He said, if you ask him anything in his name and according to his will, 1 John 5:13, 13, 14, 15. If you ask this, he said, and you believe his word, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. So you're either going to speak by sight or you're going to speak by faith. That's why when you're born again, God redeems us. He restores us and he gives you that spirit of faith. You know, the opposite of faith is it's not fear. It's sight. That's why you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. God is contrasting the two of them. The opposite. You're either going to walk by your senses and your emotions, which is how we've been walking since we were born. This is our natural man. So now we've got to leave this natural and start to live a new supernatural. You are born again, brand new, of God. You're a child of God. You are not meant to stay in the realm of what you see, but you can come up higher. Repent means to come up higher. In other words, what God's saying is, take my thoughts, know my ways. And how can we do that? Well, we've got what they didn't have in Isaiah. We've got the word of God and the Holy Ghost who authorized it. So the Bible says because of that, we have the mind of Christ. So you need to understand that for us, we're going to have to understand words. out of the abundance of the heart. Where's our saying coming from? From your believer. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So notice, your thinking is not coming from your head. Your thinking is coming from your heart. Your believing is not coming from your head. Your believing is coming from your heart. And you're not talking your mind. Your heart, whatever you are full of, whatever you invest in, whatever you are putting on the inside of you, that's what's going to come out of your mouth, because it's the heart that opens the mouth. Matthew chapter 16. I love this verse. I know we use it in many ways. I'm not going to say anybody has erred. I'm just going to give you the light that God gave me on it. And I'm not a perfect person. I've lived a lot of error, because I want you to know it takes time to learn truth. And you've got to discern truth in order to do that. You're going to have to learn the word of God. And you don't do that overnight. There are things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. Why? Because of the word. I used to live a life of praying. And I pray this way. God, I know you don't know this. Or I think you don't know this. Or God, can you just help me, as if he didn't know it. And I need this God, and we need that God. And it's been really hard here. And we're supposed to be praying for this God. And I just want you to know how hard it is, God. And I used to pray everything I used to feel and everything I used to see, and as if God never knew it. But you know, that's not how Jesus said to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, pray to the Father. Well, we're doing that. And Jesus said you do it in his name. But when you pray to the Father, first you start with worship. Why? Because you want God's presence with you. We hear him better when he's present. And so we worship him. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God. We glorify you because you are God. You are for us. You're not against us. You are with us. You never forsake us, and you never leave us. We've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Yes, so don't pray those prayers. So Jesus, he said, you worship him. Hallowed be thy name. And then what do you worship? What are you praying for? His kingdom. We are so need-minded, but God is so word-minded. You're praying for the kingdom to come. Where? Right here where I can see it. I want what's in heaven right here where I can see it. I'm tired of praying prayers I don't get to see. I want to see the healing. I want to see the prosperity and provision. I want to see, God, the words that you've given me, prophetic and written. I want to know that, God, when you said if I ask something, it will come to pass. I want to know, Lord God, when you said we're just like you, it will come to pass. God said, and it was. And so I'm praying, and I'm praying for what? The kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And what is his kingdom? His will. Where's his will found? In his word. How important is the word of God? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in the natural. So if your will is healing for my body, I want it in the natural. If your will is that you take care of me, I want that care in the natural. If you said with long life you'll satisfy me, I tell the Lord this all the time. I thank you satisfy me. My grandpa lived to be 106 years old. He never died of sickness. My grandma lived to be 99 years old. She didn't die of sickness. With long life will he satisfy me. He's given me 120 years, unless I go in the rapture, which I'm ready to go. But if I'm not, you might be gone, but I might be telling your kids and your grandkids, I'm still here, because I'm only not even half. I'm barely going to be 60 around the corner, and I want you to know I am not near half yet. So when my grandpa went, my grandpa didn't go ill, weak, and with infirmities. My grandpa walked four blocks over to my auntie's house and said, well, I'm going to go to heaven. So I just wanted, before I went there, to let you know that I won't be seeing you. He went back home, and that night he went to sleep, and grandpa was in heaven. My grandma, her pastor was Kenny Foreman, a big church in the Bay Area. And she never misses a day of church. Grandma loves Jesus. And at 99 years old, I didn't believe her. I'm going to confess right now, I didn't believe Grandma. I was just a kid. And Grandma called up everybody and said, I'm going to make my last beans and tortillas. And I want you to come over on Saturday, and we're just going to celebrate because I'm going home with Jesus. Well, Grandma wasn't sick. What'd she do? She made those last tortillas and those last beans. And Grandma called up Kenny Foreman, her pastor, that evening. She said, I won't be in church tomorrow. Don't worry about me, because I don't miss church. But I'm not going to be in church, because I'm going to go with Jesus. And I just want to make sure you promise to do my funeral. And Grandma went to bed, and she never woke up. With long life, he'll satisfy you. with long life. So, you know, I would never be a satisfied person in sickness. I'm just telling you, and I tell God all the time, I'll never be satisfied with a sickness. I won't be satisfied with any ailment on my body, and I won't be satisfied with no provision. I don't need to be rich. I just need to be provided for. So, God, I'm going to live long and strong because your word says. Now, see, it matters because you can just be 40 and start talking about, oh, I got so many aches and pains, right? So God didn't want you to talk that way. You know, God didn't create sickness. Wrong knowledge created sickness. When God made everything in the garden, what did he say? It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. And oh, yeah, that man, he's real good. So is sickness good? No, it's not. Does sickness produce life? No, it doesn't. So sickness came out of a deaf mind and a deaf mouth. And God said, life and death are in your mouth. You choose. And he's so good. God is so good. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, which is just another way of saying them. And he said, I would that you choose life. Man, I wish I had teachers like that. Here's your math test and here's your answer. I would have went through school a lot better if I had a teacher like that. That's how much God wants you to get it right. So life and death, there is power in God's mouth. Did you know there's power in yours? You are either going to destroy or you're going to bless. God said in Psalms 107:20, he said that he sent his word. Word was God. Did you know that? He sent his word to heal us. That word means salvation. That word heal means healing for the body. That word means peace. That word means deliverance. And that word means wholeness. That's what he sent the word for. And it says something right after that sometimes I think we don't pay much attention to. He sent his word to deliver us from all our destruction. When did I destroy myself, God? Every time you talked, I don't feel good. Every time you talked, we can't do it. Every time I said I want to do something with you and you checked what you could afford. Every time you spoke against the things of God, the things that are written, the things by the Holy Ghost, the things that have been said. Every time you did this, you destroyed yourself. And so he's gonna correct our destruction. Well, how do you correct destruction? You correct it with right. Right is right words. And so Matthew chapter 16 is when Jesus says this. He says to the disciples, Who do men say that I am? And you know, when you don't know, you're so glad you asked who do men say. Because then I won't be wrong. So they said, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. Some say. And you want to know what? Those are not bad things. They're not evil, what was spoken. They weren't right, but they weren't evil. Because if he was the prophet Elisha, not the spirit of the prophet, if he was, then God is into reincarnation, which is what they thought in that day. So we can read by so fast we don't realize that's not of God. And then he turns and says, who do you say that I am? Well, there's 12 people there. And one disciple opens his mouth and he says, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And what Jesus says is what we all need to hear. Flesh and blood. You didn't hear that from a human. You didn't hear those words audibly. You didn't hear those words naturally. Those words didn't come from earth. But you heard my Father, who's in heaven, just like me. When we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then what does the Bible tell us that we need from him? Give us this day. Can we just say every day? Give us every day your daily bread. What are we asking? Give me your word, God. Give me your word today. Give me a word. Why? Because the word of God is his answer. The word of God in your mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in Jesus' mouth. Give me your word, God. Give me the power. Give me the righteousness of words. Give me life words. Give me what I need to speak. Give me word. That's how you get the kingdom here. You speak the kingdom word. So he's asking for word. Jesus said this, I don't say anything of my own. And this blows me away because He's a son of God. But do you know, so are you. But why do so many sons of God and daughters of God today have so many things to say that are not even from God's word? And you want to know what? Those might impress the flesh and get you excited in your flesh. That's not bad. But there's no faith in the flesh. You need the word of God, which is the gospel of God, which is the message of God, which is the word spoken of God, so that he can give you the faith that you need to believe God, so you can manifest what God is speaking to you. I don't want God to tell me I'm healed and never have it. I don't want God to tell me I have peace and never have it. I want what God says now and in this world and in this life. And so God gives us word. So Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus say? And we're so familiar with this. Can you pull that up? Maybe John 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there. Let's look at it together so you know it's not me. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." The next verse. "And I also say unto you, Peter, on this rock," I think Apostle West brought it up, "on this foundation, on this truth," okay? So on what truth? Well, let's find out what truth. "Upon this rock," this is your foundation. We know it's the word, right? Okay, "I will build my church." Stop. What? What just happened? What has just happened that this is what God's going to build the church? Can I tell you what God's going to build the church on? You hearing him. You hearing him. For faith cometh by hearing him. It might come from Prophetess Janet. It might come from Apostle. It might come from me. But if it's the word of God, it needs to be God speaking to you. For when God speaks to you, you'll receive the faith that you need so that you can believe the impossible. Upon hearing, isn't that what he did? Jesus said, you flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Upon the revealing of what God is speaking. Upon God speaking and you hearing. Because if you will hear God, you will know, I will take these words and I will take that thought so I can get that thought in my believer, so I can get that thought in my speaker. So according to Jesus, who said in Mark 11, and he didn't say this either to renewed, born again, spirit-filled people. He said, you will have whatsoever you say. God did not want us to speak sickness and have sickness and speak poverty and have poverty and speak I can't and never do. So unrenewed people can have what they say because they chose death over life. Not because they're evil, but because they didn't know. Hosea says, my people, my kids, my family, my church is destroyed for lack of knowledge because they rejected the word. Not because the word wasn't presented. That scripture says they rejected it. My people perish for lack of knowledge, meaning not that I don't know or not that I haven't heard, but I must have not thought it was God speaking to me. So I didn't receive it. So when I didn't receive it, I was destroyed. Because you might be blaming the devil for everything that's taking place that you actually might be speaking out. When you speak words, that's the third form. And that is your will. That is your will being spoken. And that's why Jesus said, not my will, but God's will. So I'm only going to speak his will. I'm only going to speak his life. I'm only going to speak his words because I want his will. And so I'll speak that I'm healed if I don't feel it, that I'm provided for when I can't see it, that I have peace when there's a storm around me. I'll speak what God says over what I see and feel. His will. His will. Praise God. And so Jesus said, upon this foundation, this is our starting point, hearing God. I'm going to build my church, my sons and my daughters. You are the church. This is the building. You are the church. I'm going to build you up What are you going to build me up to be, God? Like Christ. You're going to think like Christ, talk like Christ, walk like Christ, do like Christ. You're going to be just like Christ. Christ is not his last name. You're going to walk in the anointing, and you're going to be the anointed one on earth, because Jesus is in heaven, and he said this, as he is in heaven, so are you in this world right now. So are you. But if you don't know this truth, you'll still walk defeated. You'll still talk what you see. You'll still believe that sickness is on your body. Pastor, you laid hands on me and nothing happened. That's because you didn't believe something happened. We believe and then we receive. We believe first. That's what makes us so opposite of the non-born again believer. They believe when they see, and we believe when he said. And so Jesus said, upon this church, upon this rock, this truth, hearing God. That's what just happened. And I know a lot of times that this is when we kind of do things like, and I don't think it's wrong. I just think that it's not perfected in its full truth. We want to talk about the devil. Well, devil, I bind this and I bind that. And that's okay, because if he's doing something, you stop him. That just means I forbid you. To bind just means I forbid. Read your translations. I forbid, I don't allow, I won't permit. And when you accept something, you loose it. Well, loose just means I accept, I allow, and I permit. Notice God's not making you permit it. You've got to permit it yourself. And that's why he said, whatever you allow, whatever you permit, whatever you bind, whatever translation, these are the same words. Whatever you allow here will be allowed in that spirit realm. Right? And so he says, whatever you forbid here, heaven's not releasing it. So who's in charge? Choice belongs to you. Adam, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. God didn't say eat of it. He just wanted him to live by choice. I want you to choose me. God wants you to choose me. God would want you to choose him by choice, not by force. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would. Now you better get saved. You have to get saved. I'll make you get saved. You can't. Because it's a choice. That choice is from your kidney, your mind. You have to accept what God says. When you accept from your mind where your choice belongs, then you put it in your heart where your believing belongs. And when you're whatever you believe, and that's what you also think, according to Scripture, will come forth out of your mouth and become your saying. And whatever you say, according to Scripture, you will see. So don't worry about what you see. You can change what you see by what you say. My dad, I was 12, almost 13 years old. My dad was a Hell's Angel, real bad guy, real bad guy. It's probably why I grew up a real bad girl, you know, until Jesus. And my dad, you didn't even want to look it in his eyes. He'd throw a shoe at your face. He was just a really bad guy. And my dad, he got saved. And we never saw him. My mom wouldn't let us because he would hurt us. So we didn't see him. I didn't see him until I was about 7 years old when he got saved. When he got saved, mom would let us go for summer. And we would go for the summer. And when my dad got saved, I remember going to church with him. He looked really mean. And when he saw himself in the mirror one day, the Holy Ghost said, that's not who you are anymore. You need to make changes because people see you the same way you were. So he made changes because you didn't know what happened on the inside because he looked identical on the outside. Wow. And when my dad was just serving in the ministry, you know, he was welding by trade at that time. He's been pastoring for 40 years this November. Wow. Wow. And when my dad was welding, he had a shop in the backyard. They lived on land. And there was a kink in the cord, and it had rained prior to that. And my dad was welding on my uncle's car, the shift gear. And he was underneath and he pulled it and it ended up rusting in a puddle. My dad lost one eyeball. My dad died immediately. And so what they did was, you know, they called the ambulance. But my mom, and this is not like, I know Catholics think you can bring someone out of purgatory and it's a raising from the dead. But that's not what I'm talking about. My mom has raised three people from the dead. And I want you to know, my dad was dead about an hour. We lived 3 hours away, and they said, you know, call your auntie, tell her to bring you. You've got to come. Your father's passed away. And my mom is a woman of God. This is my stepmom, but I've known her as mom my whole life. And she knew the word, and they had gotten saved. And she, you know, when you come from darkness, you recognize light pretty easy. And so she recognized God's word and its truth. And she went down to the Catholic little room that they had with all the little monos and things like that that you can pray to. And she went there just for quietness, and she went in after she heard he died. It had been about 45 minutes, and he'd already been dead. We're now getting a ride about an hour later. And she went in that room, and she said, God, you need to speak to me. I need a word. I can't believe anything without a word. God, you need to give me a word. There are words you spoke over me and Isaac, and you have to bring it to pass. It cannot come to pass if my husband is dead. God, give me a word. And God gave her a word, and he said, he will live and not die. And he will live to declare the good works of God. And I want you to know, she got that word, and she shouted in that room. She was all alone. She called up her pastor, who was just on the way still, and she called him up, and she said, get down here with me into the little chapel room. He's going to live and not die. And you're going to stand here with me and declare it until he lives. And they got in that room. They just declared one word. Why? Because she didn't have two of them. And the one word would work. And she just declared, you will live and not die, and declare the good works of the Lord. Isaac, you will live and not die. And now he's in the mortuary, bottom part of the hospital. He's been tagged and he's been dead. And I want you to know that, yeah, sometimes in the mortuary you can make a sound and a noise and even move still when you're dead. But my dad went from death to life. And when my dad got up, he went from one to two eyeballs. And when my dad woke up, he didn't make a sound that a dead body makes. He screamed and he said, I don't know why. I said, I'm hungry. So my dad has a death certificate or a birth certificate, a death certificate, and a re-life certificate. So if you want to know why I believe the word, it's because like Timothy, I got a good history of believers. And so I believe the word over anything anybody tells me, even the ones I love. If it disagrees with God, I'm not going to take it. See, because you might just be telling me your story, but I might be unwillingly taking what you're saying, not knowing. And it matters the thoughts that you take, because those thoughts end up in your mouth. And so he says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father's in heaven. Upon this foundation of what? Hearing God. I'm going to build my church on hearing God. And the gates of hell. Well, what's a gate of hell? Every sense that's been lying to you the whole time that you had to be delivered out of. Every blindness that your sense of sight or your sense of touch or your sense of body emotion or your senses told you, no, that's not true. You still have pain. No, that's not true because you have no money. Look, no, that's not true. God didn't change you. You cussed yesterday. If God said you're born again, you will work out the old you into the new you. You've got to stand believing you are born again because his righteousness. Come on. And so upon this rock, the gates, the senses, which has always been how the devil has controlled people. You know, in Jude, I think chapter 12 or 13, verse 2, it says this. And Satan, having had put in Judas to betray Jesus. How did he do that? The way spirit does. He spoke thoughts to him. You know when he did it? Scripture tells us. When the alabaster box was poured out, he was stealing the treasury. And he lied and said, hey, that could have been given to the poor. And Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. But what he really meant was, I could have took some of that. And he was offended it went to Jesus and not in his purse. And at that moment of offense, Satan put in the thought, betray him, he's not God. He wasted all that money on himself. On himself. How dare those pastors have something nice? And that came on him, he got so offended that the devil put that thought and he heard it. And he took it. And he acted on it. So can God put a thought in you? According to Matthew 16, he can. Your father gave you that thought. But the devil is a spirit. And you hear those thoughts out of that realm. And he will put, the Bible says that he put it in David to count the senses when David was told not to. It says Satan, not even a demon. Satan put it in David to count. How did he do that? The thought. He was controlling our thoughts because it matched our feelings. And God wants to control your thoughts because it matches the word. And you're going to decide, am I going to walk by faith without any feeling, trusting God's word, or am I going to keep walking by every sense that I have and believe this knowledge that God didn't make, that came from the fruit of the seed of the tree, of knowledge that is a mixture of good and evil. And if I offered you a cake with a tiny bit of poison but a whole lot of good chocolate chip, you would not take it because the poison would ruin the chip. The evil ruined the good. And so man changed his mind and he changed his words. And that's why restoration is about a spirit of faith and a mind of God so that we can speak his word. Hallelujah. So upon this rock, I'm closing, I'll build my church. And the senses that used to control you, that hell used, those gates through your ear, audible hearing that matched your senses, what you saw when God said he's going to send you and he's going to do this, that didn't match your bank account, that you saw with your eyes and you thought, I can't do it. Look here and look at that, and that number's making it impossible, and we have bills and we have cares. But the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So the fact that you're caring for your cares means you're not walking by faith, because you're not giving those to God so that you can stay in that faith. Why do you think the Bible says, hold on to your confession? Well, I don't know about you, but if you're this belongs to me, you want to go ahead and try to take it from me? try take it from me. Come on, try take it from me. No, I'm not letting it go. It's mine. I'm not letting it go. No, I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go. Do you know Satan's trying to steal every thought that God has, and he's trying to make, let go, feel. Let go, don't believe, see. Let go, don't trust God. Let go of that word, and that's why God says, hold on to that confession of faith. Oh, it's really yours. I don't mean to take it. Hold on to that confession, because what he's trying to do is get you to trust what you see, to change what's in your mouth. So upon this rock, I'll build my church. Can I just tell you one more thing and we're finished? You know, you go to the store, they're pretty smart. So if you go in and you get in the freezer and you buy this thing here, what are you buying? You're buying water. Who, the smart person in the room, who's that? We answer my next one, whoever you were. So you're buying what? How do you know it's water? It says it's water, huh? Isn't that amazing? It's not a miracle. The container says what's inside. So if you found a can of beans, you know, you're not going to open it up and potato chips pop out. And this is what the Holy Ghost showed me, because the word for word in the Hebrew is the word dabar. And you know what it means? A thing. A thing. Now, a thing can be pointed to. A thing can be seen. And what God is telling you is these words, they'll be things. Healing words will be healing things. Inside of a word is container of faith for the thing that the word is. That if you speak that word, that thing, and the faith you need for that to come to pass, it's in the word. So if you speak healing word, then healing is what you're going to get out of the word, because the word is a container for what it holds inside. And I said, Jesus, come into my life and save me. And those saving words gave me new life. And when I asked Jesus to heal me, those healing words gave me a healed body. We believe and therefore we speak. And so devar is the word, which is a container of faith that holds your need. And in every word of God, whatever that word and promise is, whatever that utterance is, whatever that prophecy is, whatever that word that you have been given, that's the word that gives you. I can't believe that word. You know what God says in Habakkuk? He says, I'm going to do a thing in your life that you would not believe it even if I told you. Some of you would ruin what God's going to do. He's just going to have to put the steps in order. He can't tell you, because you would speak against it in a heartbeat. Says, I'm going to do a work in you that you would not believe if I had told you. You're not ready, I can't tell you. You'll come against it. So how does he get you to believe? He's going to start giving you these containers of faith. I'm going to build my church on you hearing this container, that I'm going to do the impossible. All things are possible for you if you believe. And what does she say? I don't know about that, but I'm going to take it anyway. And in this container is the faith that she needs to believe God for what is impossible with man is possible with God. And she'll take this word and she'll speak this word, and this word will be the thing the word speaks. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, I know you may not realize, but God used a lot of words without wasting words. They were purpose. You are a child of God. Don't let the devil tell you if you are. You are the healed, because by his stripes you were. You are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are victorious in Christ. Greater is God that's in you than he that's in this world. God has spoken so much victory to you. And all he wants you to do is hear it. Upon hearing, God will build his church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's the word. And I'm not a fake it till you make it kind of person. I'm not rich by any means. Sometimes every other month, I don't even have $2 in my bank account. I don't live by money. I live by faith. And anytime anything is required of me of God, my husband and I say yes. We check with nothing. We don't check our bank account. We don't check anything. We have received two houses that we bought. The first house, I'm just talking, I'm really over it, but I just feel like talking to you. I like you. The first house we bought, I never bought a house. My mother didn't teach me we could even own a house. We were all career welfare people. You know, have a baby, get a bonus. Have a baby, get an increase. Have a baby, get more groceries. That's how we were taught. And so I had baby at, 15 and a half years old, because that's what we were taught. So nobody told me I could own a house. I didn't even know what credit was, to be honest with you. I didn't know anything. I was just learning faith as a new believer. And I told my husband, we're going to buy a house. The word of the Lord came to me. You know what he said? I'll give you houses you didn't build. He didn't say, you're going to buy one. Yes, Jim, we're going to get a house, because we don't need money. Because he didn't say we're going to buy it. He says he's going to give it. And my husband and I, we've never had any money. And this is the first time in our life our landlord sued us. And it's like, oh, my God, we're believers. Why are we getting sued? He was suing us for a garbage bill that he himself had to pay, because it was between two houses. And it was in our contract. But we lived there so long, I couldn't find the contract. And so he took us to court. And we went to court. We could only have truth, you know. I don't have evidence, but I have truth. But the man pulled out a piece. He was winning, because, you know, they can win real easy. The landlord, they know how. They just make up a document. And he brought out this paperwork, and he's looking for this document. And I don't have mine. I wish I had the one we signed in the back of a piece of paper. And he flips the paper, and there it is. I saw it. That's our paper. There it is right there. In fact, he told us he would pay us for anything that we fixed. We'd have to pay the garbage, and they said, what? And the judge said, can I see that? And the judge, they asked him to take that paper up. It was something on this side, and just like it was just a piece of paper that we signed. And that was the paper. And he flipped that paper, and there was our signatures, that I would pay you for any work that you did in the house, because it needed work. When you have 10 kids, you know, you don't get the best house you want. You get the one you could afford. And so it needed work. And then it said, and you will not pay the garbage, because it's between two houses. So the guy turned around and said, I'm renovating my bathroom. They did this. I had pictures. I wanted to show them at least we were good people. Look at what we've done to the house. I mean, I didn't have a lawnmower. You know what I mowed the lawn with? A scissor. I'm not joking, because it belonged to God. And we didn't have no money. So I got, you know, it's true. I got the scissors, and I would sit out there for hours every day mowing my lawn. Because my house belonged to Jesus, and I didn't want anyone to think that Jesus wasn't in order in my house. So I was just learning, and it meant everything that I had an God-organized earth. It was in chaos. So I kept my house nice. It was broken, and it was ugly, but it was clean, and it was nice. And he turned that paper, and he said, Gabriel was his name. He said, I'm just redoing my bathroom. And I'm about up to $10,000. This is small claims court. You pay them $5,000. $5,000 was miracle money. You know, we didn't just buy one loaf of bread. We needed four to feed 12. We didn't buy 1 gallon of milk. We needed two for breakfast. So there were times we just really, well, my kids grew up on bologna, peanut butter and jelly and chicken. And I didn't tell them it's because God provided. Didn't we ever go without? No, we did not. Come on. Not one day. We never did. And whenever we needed a miracle, it showed up. So he and my husband were like, wow, glory to God. What are we going to do? Well, I wanted two kitchen tables because we never sat together. And I said, God, I just want two kitchen tables. And pray to the Lord. He said, you can have your two kitchen tables. So we're at church. We've already paid the tithe. We're in a service. And Clefro Dollars, the speaker in our church, and he's talking about giving and blessing. And the Holy Ghost tells me, and this is a lot of money for me, write a $500 check. And I'm thinking, $500? My husband's not here. He'll kill me. I can't do it. But I wrote it, and it's not offering time, but the Holy Spirit said, take it up. And I wrote it, and I thought, oh, no way, man. God, you couldn't tell me that. My husband would be so mad I ripped it up. I did this five times, ripped up five checks. And then all of a sudden, I see somebody coming from the, because he had said, somebody's been buying magazines for homes, and God's going to give you a home. I knew it was me, and everyone else, I think they lied. Because, oh, how many people in the room were buying magazines and said, you're going to get a house? I was buying every magazine so I can dream of my house. And I bought, and I said, that's mine. And then one person came up, a second person came up. I start writing a check. That's mine. It's my magazine. I'm the one that did it. Jim's just going to have to get over it. By the time I can get out of my chair, about 500 people have got up. And I'm really mad at them for getting up. This is my word. But I, you know what I decided? Go ahead and get up in your faith. But this is my word. And I threw that check down there, and I went and sat down, and I called a real estate agent, and they brought us to Modesto, and they said, look at a house. My husband said, are you crazy? And the first thing she said to my husband, like the house. We said, we want the house. I think we had $10 in the bank. We want the house. And they said, okay, you have to put a faith bid. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so easy. I know faith. And I said, how about $200? That was faith for me. We only had 10. And I have to post-date the check because my husband only gets paid once a month. So I post-date it for the second we get paid on. She goes, are you serious? I said, yeah, give it. They took it. But we didn't have no money. And then she called me about 30 days later. We're packed up. We already gave notice. They already rented our rental. And she says, I just wanted to give you the amount for escrow and what you need to bring. I'm like, what is escrow? That's where you go and you sign your paperwork. You pay the rest of your money. You need $23,000. I go, what the heck? This is impossible. They said $200. And that check got cashed. So I don't understand. And I'm on my mattress because the beds already took apart. And I'm crying out to God. And God said, I told you I'd give you a house you didn't build. He didn't console my emotions. He gave me the word that's going to work. So I never told my husband till after the fact. And I want you to know, from that day on, people from all over the California state, we got checks in the mail every single day from people we've still never met, never heard of, and never met to this day. $5,000, $100, $300 in the memo for your house, for your house, for your house. We went with $26,000 because at the last minute, my neighbor, who is not a religious man, who does not go to church, he said he couldn't sleep, so he went to the Catholic church, and he went and he talked to Mary, and Mary told him to give me $1,700, which took us over the amount. So we had every penny and then some, which helped us for gas to move. But I want you to know, why am I just telling you that story? I think because I wanted to. But the truth is this, a word is all we need. Some of you are taking too much control of your life. Your father is a good father, and he's provided every word you need to bring every manifestation, not just that you want, not just that you have to have the food or for that trip, but he'll give you every desire if you seek the kingdom. And I wanted you to know, we got a four-bedroom house that was just a few years old that we eventually, because God gave us a word, remember that? Give that house to your sister. We sold our house for the ministry, so we could be on a trip that God told us we had to be on. But in order to do that, we had to sell it to her who had no money, so we had to give her 17 and we kept 12 just to go on the trip. Because see, we're not living off our money as if I gotta have thousands because we got another year to go, we've got a future. I don't care about my future. I'm living in my current. I'm not telling you don't be wise. You're probably a lot wiser than me. But when you don't have the income to do that or the means to do that, can you just live off the now and God's word now and faith now and believe now? And if every day you're believing now, then every day you'll be receiving what you need. God is going to build his church on you hearing him. But you got to choose to receive it. You got to choose his word. God, I heard these thoughts today that you're going to do this in the ministry, that you're going to do this in my life. That you're going to do this with my kids? Take that thought. But remember, everyone doesn't come from him. Corinthians tells us, Paul wrote, that cast down every wrong imagination, every vision doesn't come from God, and every thought that is disobedient to the knowledge of God. So can you learn that I have to receive some? So when God said that you will bind or you will accept, it's up to you. You accept God's words, and you need to learn how to deny the devils. And then right after that, and I'm sorry, I keep talking, but I just really want to. Right after that, God says this. Peter hears a thought. Why does God do this in one chapter? It's like, man, you just lifted Peter up, and then you kicked him right in the leg. It's not fair. Like, let us get excited with Peter, right? But Peter will learn. And it's Peter that said, you are the Christ. And then Jesus takes time. We don't know how much time this is. We read our Bible too fast. I was telling my husband, God gave me this thought this morning, that Adam, we read it like Adam was made, Adam ate the tree, Adam was kicked out of the garden, Adam knew his wife, which means they were intimate, Adam had a baby. But you know, Scripture says in the genealogy of chapter 5 of Genesis that it took him 130 years before his first child was born. So we don't know the distance of the time in this Scripture. But here he is, he's talking what he hears from God, and wow, everybody, God's going to build the church like on what Peter did. He heard God. And then what happens? Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die, but on the third day I'll be raised. He's just telling him his very purpose. For this purpose, John said, the Son of God came that he might destroy the works of the devil. Might, because you got to allow those works to be destroyed. That he might destroy the works of the devil, and Jesus came for that purpose. And then what does Peter do? He says, be it far from you, God, don't go to Jerusalem. And what does Jesus do? See, every thought has an origin. That thought came from Satan, not from Peter. It just came out of Peter's mouth. So he said, Satan, get behind me. In other words, he was saying, that's not, it's like he threw it. Remember he said, cast down? It's like he threw it. And then he talked to Peter, really, because he said, you have the mind of men, not of God. Why? That's why we have to renew our mind, so that we can take the right thoughts. That's why we need to learn the word of God, so we can verify that thought comes from God. It agrees with God, so I agree with it. And that's why we have to learn how to accept and agree with those words, so I can get them inside my believer and make this my thinking, that I want to think like God and believe the way God said, so that once it fills my believer, who's filling it? You are. You need to spend time in God's word. You are filling your heart. When your heart is full, it'll open your mouth. You know when people say, and it's from the head, it doesn't last very long. They can go against it before they even walk out the doors. But when it's coming out of your heart, because a full heart, you will say it when it looks right. You will say it when it looks wrong. You will say it when things are not right. You will say it when things are right. It'll just be what comes out of your mouth is your natural, that God is good, that God is able, that God supplies. Hallelujah. Well, were you blessed by the word?
Yeah.
Praise God. I don't know what to do. I just feel like I'm at my own church.